Well, good morning, everyone. It's kind of a, well, it's a beautiful day again. I mean, it's a day that the Lord has made. And, you know, I say let's rejoice and be glad in it. I know for myself it's been kind of a weird week. My wife is on the road with Robin, and, you know, you don't realize how much you miss someone until they're gone, you know, so it's just me, and I'm kind of hanging around going, okay, you know, all right, what's in the fridge? I don't look in the fridge ever, you know, so it's been kind of a weird thing, and I know that one thing I it's been a topic on mine for a while, and it's talking about faith and about how the Lord takes our faith that we give him and that he'll take it and he'll purify and stuff like that. And I know that for me, it's been one of 33 years now of learning what it means to walk in the Lord and learning what it means to trust him in that. And I know that I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. And part of the reason is my lack of well, there's a lot of reasons, but it's a lot of that time for me, I know where I'm at this point, is I have to be willing to let go of the things that hold me back in this world. And I have to be willing to let go of these things so that I can take that, get those things out of my life so that faith can be given to Jesus Christ. And I know that over my whole life, it's something that he's demonstrated time and time and time again, that he's always there. Now, I'll admit that part of that time, it hasn't been pleasant for me, but I know it's been profitable. And I know that if you put your trust, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you won't be ashamed. You know, I know that. He's demonstrated that to me. And I'm, you know, think of what it says in John, you know, where it talks about, you know, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. You know, the victory, Jesus was victorious. Jesus was victorious when he died upon the cross and when he resurrected. And I know that part of the struggle, I know that with Karen gone is, you know, I see myself really going back into this old man, okay? I fall back into this battle that I have. And I know, I have to remember that Jesus Christ won the war. He has won that war. He has given me the victory. You know, he has overcome everything. And where I have to keep on going back to is recognizing that that was the victory that he had done. And I know for myself, you know, I sometimes get in this, you know, routine. Well, my routine now is being broken up now because things are a little, you know, Karen gone. I know I'll say that. I've said that a couple of times. Things are changing. Things change. But I have to remember, I have to go back that Jesus Christ won the war. Jesus Christ won that battle. And if we dwell in him, if we put our lives fully entrusted in him, then we too have won that war through him. And I know that part of this thing is I get tossed and turned by things, and that's because I've taken my eyes off Jesus. And I think of like what happened with Peter when he walked upon the water. You know, he lost sight of what he was doing. He lost sight that Jesus said, come. And when he looked around and saw the storm, he lost sight that Jesus had told him to come and that he could have walked on that water. And so where I know this battle, talking about this thing that's been going on, is that We have to get to that point where our faith is fully on Jesus Christ. Our faith has to be taken out of the things of this world. Our faith has to be solidified and purified and have it purged from the things of this world. And during this process, I know there's this turmoil, okay? It's this turmoil as we let this stuff go. And I know for myself, I often lose sight that the victory has been won. But I know that victory is won. I know that Jesus Christ has overcome. I know that he is victorious. And I know that if I dwell in him, I too will be with him when I die. So don't let the struggles or don't let the things of this world tear you down. Believe Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. And let him try that faith and let him purify that faith so that it too will stand strong. So sorry I didn't read any scriptures itself.
Praise God. Yeah, I can take the microphone off and do it. But one of the things Henry was telling me the other day, it was kind of funny. Most people know of Jesus. Okay, most people know of him. Henry certainly knew of him. He had, forgive me folks out there in radio land, that I'm moving this around probably sounds nasty. People in here can't hear at all. But Henry knew of Jesus. His parents made him go to the Nazarene church, and he went to this church, and he went to that church. And most people who grow up in America know of Jesus. I mean, there's very few people who haven't heard of the name of Jesus here. Truth be told, no matter where you go, you're hard-pressed to find people who haven't heard the name of Jesus because every false religion ends up having to deal with them in some way because they have to try and explain why theirs is better than Jesus. And they try on a whole bunch of different fronts. But Henry was saying to me, you know, he got himself in a lot of jams as a child. I think he's gotten himself in a few as an adult as well. But we haven't made the whole history of Henry here, so we've only gotten some of them. And he got himself into some jams, and he would ask God for help. And the next thing he knew, he was no longer in a jam. But then he did this, you know, he had that little tinge because he felt like he had to, look, if God was going to move on his behalf, he better do something himself, right? I mean, better offer God something in this thing. So Henry would offer something. I'll serve you if you get me out of this jam. And then what would Henry do? Man, he was out of the jam, man. It was cool. He'd go right back to what he was doing. And he found himself always being incapable. So he stopped asking for help because he just felt bad. He felt like he was not worthy. He didn't deserve help again or any of these different types of things. Anybody ever feel that way? Anybody ever feel that way? I mean, mothers with your children, do you ever feel like you need help? Ever feel like that? Like, what do I do now? Oh, my God, I just did this. You know, we make a lot of mistakes. Boatloads full of them. I mean, there aren't enough containers in the universe to carry all of our mistakes. So humility, though, is willing to ask for help. See, and the gospel requires us to humble ourselves. Because the gospel is that God is good and we are not. And that's hard for us to receive a lot of times because while we may not see ourselves as perfect, seldom do you have people going around talking about how perfect they are, we definitely hear lots of people go around thinking about how they're at least better than somebody else. Right? Anybody ever think that way? Well, at least I don't do that. Or at least I don't do the other thing. And therefore you feel like, well, I mean, when we look out here in comparison, we weigh one another, I'm not all that bad. I'm basically good is the kind of phrase that you hear. Go, he's basically a good person. Well, I'm here to tell you there's never been a good person. I'm not good. You're not good. Never been a good person on this earth. You know, Jesus Christ himself, when they came up to him and said, "Good master," what did Jesus say? "Thank you for acknowledging how great I am." He said, "Why callest thou me good? Why callest thou me good?" And I say that to you because, I mean, the fact of the matter is, if Jesus could say that, I mean, is he a liar? Was it just a false humility, or was he speaking the truth? Well, we know if he was lying and it was a false humility, then you know what? He wouldn't have been that perfect sacrifice, would he have? So we know he had to be speaking the truth. And if Jesus was speaking the truth that he wasn't good, then who are we to think we are good? And by the way, how could he say that? And this goes to something Charlie was talking about. How could he say that? Okay, the reason why Jesus could say that is because not a single thing that Jesus did, he did of himself. Not a single thing. Not a single word he spoke, not a single action he took, did he do of himself. So let me ask you something. If he didn't do it of himself, then who did it? Who did it? And Jesus answered that question for us. Jesus said that his Father, he doeth the works. The words I speak unto you are not my own, but my Father's which sent me. All right? A few weeks back, I think, Roger, you were here. You might have been here. I held up this card. Probably can't read it from back there, but Henry can read it for me. Oh, Jesse can read it for me. What's that say?
Have mercy upon me.
Have mercy upon me. Wow. Jesse could be a preacher. Can you imagine that? Just, you know, just put the teleprompter up there. Jesse's all good, right? Well, essentially, and I don't mean to say that Jesus walked with a teleprompter because he didn't, all right? But Jesus did not speak a word other than that which his Father gave him. Are you able to receive the word and share it? We all are. We all are. And if we do that, and if we do whatsoever our Heavenly Father says, you know what happens to us? You know what that is? That's called being perfect. That's called being perfect. And that's something any of you can do. There's not a one of us that can't do that. Now, but it's going to require change. So let's turn to John 3:16. I want to show you something. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What I want to underscore here is it says, you know, for God so loved the world. Imagine this love, folks. God created heaven. God created earth. God created man. God created animals. God created water. We didn't come from a Big Bang. We didn't come from any primordial soup. It was all created in 6 literal days, everything we see. Well, let me take that back. The water wasn't created during that time, and the physical earth itself wasn't created during that time, because those two existed. The first earth had been judged, and water was upon the dark, was upon the face, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So we see there was water. So there was actually something that existed prior to those 6 days we read about. But then we see how he sets the stars in the firmament of the heaven. Then we see how he creates the animals. Then we see how the dry land appears. Then we see how all the different things. And all of that happened exactly as it is written. There's not a single thing there that you cannot rely perfectly on. In fact, he even created day before he created the sun. All right, most people don't know that. It's pretty easy. Scott, turn that light off back there. Night, turn it on. Not quite as quick as God, but day. Again, you follow what I'm saying? That's all it was. God is light. Right? So, for God so loved the world, he created this perfect world. He set man in it, said, be fruitful and multiply. We tend to like the be fruitful and multiply part. We tend to struggle with some of the other elements here. He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, which means to refill the earth. You don't replenish something that's never been full before. So he says, replenish the earth. And what happened is he created this world, and this world did what? He gave one man one rule. Right? One man, one rule. That rule was to Adam, and that rule was don't eat of the tree of knowledge between good and evil. In other words, don't eat the fruit of that tree. And we know what happened. Eve ate, and you know what happened when Eve ate? Nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened. Nothing happened. There was no change. Sin did not enter the world. God, you know, none of that happened. Nothing happened until Adam ate. Lived in a perfect world, no death. Even the lions were vegetarians in the sense they ate. It said fruits and the like were their meat. Nothing died. Everything was perfect. No labor at all. One rule for one man. And mind you, he wasn't the only man there. There were many people on this earth at the time of Adam and Eve, before Adam and Eve came. Okay, those were all created over in Genesis chapter 1. But he had one rule. He failed. And as a consequence, sin came into this world. And sin is basically everything that's contrary to God. We look out here in the world. Does it look like Jesus Christ's world out here? Does it look like it's governed by Jesus Christ? Does it look like people are behaving like the way Jesus says? Does it look like we're acting like Jesus said? You know why? That all happens because of sin. And where did that sin come from? Adam. We're all born with it. These children, did you ever have to teach your children to disobey you? Please don't do what I say. Stop it. You're doing what I say. I hate that. Stop it. No, you have to teach them to do what you say, right? You have to teach them to do that, what you say, and the reason is because of sin. Because of sin. Jesse, you ever struggle to do that which is right? Like you wake up in the morning, you know, that night you go to sleep, and tomorrow, man, I'm going to be on it like white on rice. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do that. Next thing you know, failed. Failed again. Failed yet again. Failed again. Ever happened to you, Jesse? It's happened to you. Oh, imagine that. It happened to me too. That's sin. Okay, that's sin. Every human being on this earth is a sinner. There's never been one but Jesus who wasn't in Adam and the people before Adam sinned that were not. All right? So we're all sinners. And it says, for God so loved the world, he created, when Adam fell, he let sin come into the world. But when he let that sin come into the world, he also provided a way out. And there was only one way out. There's only one way out. Allah, Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, Krishna, the Great Spirit, all those are not one and the same. They are polar opposite. Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ is a polar opposite to every other faith there is ever that has existed. It is exactly contrary to Hinduism, exactly contrary to Islam, exactly contrary to Buddhism and every other thing. It's even contrary to atheism. It's even contrary to atheism. There's not an ism that is not diametrically opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the gospel of Jesus Christ says all men are sinners. And God so loved us that he sent his son. And you know what he gave his son? You ever read the Old Testament? Some people here have read the Old Testament. If you ever read the Old Testament, he gave him a whole rule book he had to follow from his infancy up. He gave him a whole rule book, and he had to do it amongst people just like you and me, who none of us cared one iota about that rule book, did we? We didn't care one iota about that rule book, and we didn't care one iota about doing as he said. And he had to keep it in the midst of all of us, and he had to keep it perfectly while people were continuously plotting to kill him from his youth up. He was an Israelite. He had to go live in Egypt. Why? Because they wanted to kill him. He grew up in Nazareth, the worst part of town. As they said, no prophet cometh out of Nazareth. Didn't they say, read the scripture? No prophet cometh out of Nazareth. See, they looked at these places as, you know, the places where you lived had something to do with how worthy you were. So Jesus grew up in Roxbury. If you ever live around here in Northfield, you know, Roxbury's not like, I mean, Roxbury, like when you went to school and stuff like that around here, the kids from Roxbury were the richest children, weren't they? They're all the ones who had all the money and everything. Right, Jesse? They did not. Roxbury was not the favored place. Not that Northfield's the favored place either. But relative to Roxbury, it was always better. All right? So think of it. Jesus grew up in Roxbury. Not by choice. That's where his folks lived. You know why they lived there? Because his dad was afraid to go back to Bethlehem because Herod was ruling there and he thought he might die. So he's living in Roxbury, the worst place. Nazareth, actually. He's living over there. He's living with the people who nobody cares about. That's where he's living. And he lives his life there. And then when he comes out and receives that Holy Spirit of God and goes forward in his ministry, what happens? People are willing to give him up to save their own hides. Why? Because they wanted to think they were okay. They wanted to think they were something. They wanted to be acceptable out here. Okay, they didn't want to be put out of the synagogue for having joined with this guy called Jesus, who everybody thought was some kind of a cult leader and, you know, some guy who, you know, he's a deceiver and he's destroying the people. Mind you, none of them could heal the sick, cast out devils, perform miracles, or do any of the other things. But notwithstanding that, everybody left him. And he was left alone. So, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. All right, how many people here actually believe that God gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that we could have eternal life? I see a bunch of hands. Just about everybody in here says they believe that. So watch this. It says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. All right? Should not perish. So you know what, everybody who just raised your hand, that means you're without excuse if you perish. So watch, let's keep going on. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All right? How could he condemn the world? When Adam disobeyed God and sin entered into the world, it made all of us sinners. So to come and condemn us for being sinners? That's how we were born? Well, that's crazy. That makes no sense at all, does it? That would make no sense at all. Anybody here a sinner? Anybody here a sinner? All right. So the thing is that he didn't come to condemn the world. He knew we were sinners. But he came to save the world, that the world through him might be saved. So it's only through him. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Watch. He that believeth on him is not condemned. You notice the difference? We said before, believe in versus believe on. I heard a little bit of what Robin was talking about today, and she was talking about faith. And I think the thing that people, and belief, and the thing that people miss about faith is a verb. It's a verb. It's an act. If you believe a thing, you act on that thing. You don't sit back. You act on it. If the Bible is the roadmap on your way as to how you get to heaven, then you know what? You study it and you follow it. Right? You don't just sit back and go, well, I believe Jesus died for me. You read it and you follow it. You know what that is? When you read it and you follow it, that's to believe on. To the person who believes on, there is no condemnation. To the person who's just satisfied to sit back and think ill of other people, what, Jesus didn't come in to condemn the world, but that's what you're going to do? Condemn everybody? Tell everybody, hey, you're not worthy, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you're too sorry, better than you? Don't we have enough of that? Isn't that pretty much what church has become? People telling them how they're better than everybody else? But watch this. I want to follow it through. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now watch that. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So what happens? We were just talking. Everybody raised their hands when we said, are you sinners? What's that mean? Our deeds are evil. Is that what you want to walk in? Do you want to continue being justified in that? If you don't want to walk in that, you don't want to continue being justified in that, then you know what you got to do? You got to be willing to change. Charlie was talking about being 30 some odd years in as a Christian. What was he talking about? How he still hasn't arrived, so to speak. Well, I don't know anybody who's arrived, but so I'm not going to put Charlie down for not having arrived, so to speak. But what he was talking about is the process he's still going on 30 some years in is a process of giving up his ways, his evil deeds. Because you know why he didn't give them up? Because he thought they were pretty good. That's the whole thing. That's why you don't give them up. I don't know anybody who, when you hand them a pile of crap, goes, oh, thank you. Can I keep this? Can I put it by my bed? Can I walk around with it? Does anybody do that? You ever see anybody do that, Jesse?
Where I work.
Yeah, Jesse's saying where he works. He's seen some people do that. And all that is people who are demonically possessed because it's certainly not natural. And so what happens is, and you'll see with people when you read the scripture and you see about people who are demonically possessed, they do all sorts of things that most of us wouldn't think of. Like, how many people think of cutting themselves? How many people think of throwing themselves into the fire? Most people don't think of doing these things, but demonically possessed people think of doing these things. All right? Just how it is. And they can be free like this, that quick. There's every single person in that hospital where you work, Jesse. Every single person could be free walking in their right mind without a need of a single drug ever. With a word. With a word. That's all it takes. A word. Spoken in faith and obedience to the Lord. And every single person there can be completely, instantaneously free in their right mind and commissioned even to be a minister of the Lord without having gone to seminary, without having gone to school, without having read the Bible. Same thing happened right there in the scripture. Anybody who's read it knows it. The Gadarene demoniac with the legion of demons that caused the herd of swine to go running down into the sea. He was as bad as or worse than anybody you've ever seen in your life. And in one with one word, go. That's what he told them, right? Go. They said, suffer us to go into the herd of swine. Go. One word. Pretty holy word too, right? Go. Go. One word spoken in faith. The legion of demons departed. He was sitting there in his right mind. They clothed him, and God and the Lord commissioned him right then. Lord said, he said, let me come with you. He said, no. You go back and tell him what great things God has done for you with a word. You ever seen a word like that? I've seen a word like that. I've seen a guy with heroin addiction where he is convulsing and he would be in a situation. He'd been in places where he'd seen people dying and stuff like that in the beds next to him under the methadone treatments and stuff like that as they were trying to go clean. I saw a guy like that, the Spirit of God, without even a word being spoken. Some of you were here. Carrie was probably there. Jeannie was there. Kaylee may have been there. Charlie was there. I was there. Without a word even being spoken, the power of God hit him, instantaneously delivered, no remaining effects whatsoever, with fresh tracks running up and down his arm. And you know where he ultimately died? Under a bridge with tithe money that he was supposed to bring to me that he went and bought heroin a couple years later with and died under a bridge. After having been freed completely. I mean, free. He was free. He was free for a long time. All right, what's it say? The dog returns unto its own vomit, and he went back. Easy to do. Easy to do. Just because he'd been delivered didn't mean that he was saved. It meant that God loved him. God loved him. All right, but then, what's it say over here? And this is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Okay? One of the things you're going to find, if you're going to be a Christian, you cannot be a Christian and be irresponsible. You can't be. It's impossible. You can't be a Christian and be irresponsible. You have to accept responsibility. If you're a husband and a father, You got to accept your responsibility to fulfill your husbandly and fatherly duties. Because you're going to be judged by them, whether you do. God equips you with everything you need to do it. But if you want to continue running off and doing your own thing, you know what? He's not going to stop you. Because God gives us a free will. He's not going to make you be responsible. He's not going to make you do any of these different things. He's going to empower you to do them. You follow what I'm saying? He's going to empower you to do them. If you choose to do them, if you say, all right, Lord, I feel like I'm completely incapable of fulfilling this role, but you know what? I'm going to do it because I know that's what's pleasing to you. You will see the Spirit of God move on your behalf to fulfill that responsibility. Same is true with a wife and a mother. Exact same thing is true with a wife and a mother. I mean, my wife, you know, some of you know a little bit about the story of when we came together, but suffice it to say, let me just give you a couple little points of things that I think are relevant to what we're talking about today. When my wife met me and she decided that she wanted to marry a guy like me, and she went and prayed, the scripture the Lord gave her was, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Correct, love? That's the scripture he gave you. Delight yourself in who? In the Lord. Now, during the period of time between when he gave her that scripture and when the two of us got married, there were a number of steps she had to make where she had to choose to delight herself in the Lord rather than what people thought. She was already a nurse. She was in an intensive care training course. She had like a few months left, and she was leaving everything to come be with me. She comes over here to be with me the first day. One of the first days we're there, we're having a cup of coffee in the camper she was staying in. We were doing a revival, and we're having a cup of coffee, and next thing you know is Richard calls. He goes, Steve. And I get up, I leave, and I don't come back for several hours. My fiance at that time, soon to be wife, Megan, when I came back, unbeknownst to me, had been stewing about this for some time. I just got up and left, didn't say, I'll be back and such, didn't say anything. I just left. And she said, I thought it was God first, then your family. I said, a part of my service to God first is to serve my authority in the Lord. Because her question actually was this. I take that back. Her question was, is it always going to be like this? That's right. That's what her question was. And I said to her, I thought about it for a moment because I realized it was an important question. And I said to her, I said, yes. Then she said to me, I thought it was God first, then your family. And I said to her, part of my service to God first is my service to my authority in the Lord. Before she even came over, when I had proposed to her and she was coming over, she used the word, she said, you know, marriage is a partnership. I said, no, it's not. That was news to her. It's not a partnership? I said, no. I said, right now, we're brother and sister. I'm nothing more to you than anybody else under the sun. I said, but the day that you become my wife, I become your head. And I become responsible for you in a way. Everything changes on that day. And I become accountable to God for every decision I make on behalf of our household, whether you like it or not. So I'm accountable to the Lord for every single one of those decisions. You may think I'm doing the most idiotic, stupid thing in the world, but if it's what the Lord wants me to do and I go with what you want me to do instead, judgment falls. Isn't that what happened with Adam? It's exactly what happened with Adam. If I love her and I love my family, I will do what the Lord says regardless of what she thinks about it. She can hate it. She can absolutely detest it. She can think I'm the biggest idiot in the world. Tough. My job's to serve God, not please her. That's my job. Her job is to help me to serve God. So before she ever came over here, after I'd asked her to marry me, we had this little discussion. She probably remembers it. And I bring this up because she had another choice. Delight yourself in the Lord? Are you going to do things the Lord's way? Or are you going to do things the way she had been trained for 30 years? Even most of them in church. In which rather than follow the word of God, they followed their own, what was pleasing to them. And so they changed things. So she chose, you know what she did? When we got married, we were on honeymoon. A lot of people would be shocked to hear something like this. I said to my wife when we were on honeymoon, I said to her, I said, look, I said, if you believe you've made a mistake, you can go home and I'll just tell everybody that it was a mistake and go on your way. And you know what my wife's response was? Now, this was after a summer of being with this fellowship, which means she'd come from a church that was, you know, wildly popular. You know, the guy in 13 years had gone from a couple people to three continents, tens of thousands of people, people streaming in, everything's, you know, all these people. She came here. We do a revival down in Claremont that summer. We had one guy show up, I think. And he was a guy who probably came from a place like where you are, and he used to sing right in front of me completely off key while I was trying to lead the worship. It was, he'd be like that. It was terrible. I mean, but he was the one guy we got, and praise God, and it was hard. It was difficult. We did services every night, and it was a brutal week of ministry down there. And I realized this was not at all probably what she had in mind. So I said to her, you want to go back? You can go back. She said, how can I go back? She said, because I know this is what's best, what the Lord has shown me is best for me. So she stuck it out. She chose to delight herself in the Lord. You follow what I'm saying? She had choices along these ways. We all have choices. See, that's the difference between believing on, where you give up your ways and you choose instead to embrace His ways. Now, for most of us, when that happens is when our life has gotten so daggone awful. I mean, so below awful, so far below what we thought awful could be, that it's gotten so low that about the only place we can look is up. That's usually what happens with most of us. We get to that place and we go, all right, what do I do now, Lord? And we get down there into that pit, and He in that pit raises us up out. Look at all the people who came to Him in His ministry, right? They were sick. They were demonically possessed. They were in need of all different things. What did He do? He gave them what they had need of. What did they do with it then? Most took what they got and went on their merry way. A few chose to submit themselves unto Him and go on His way. Right? Those make it to heaven. The others don't make it to heaven. So the fact of the matter is what happens with the gospel, and you get down here as we continue on, it says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So, see, we don't want to be corrected. We don't want to be corrected. So what we do is we avoid the light. We avoid the light. We try and stay away from it, because the light shows that the need for correction, the need for change. But he that doeth truth cometh to light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now watch that. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Most of us here, all of us, I think, some of the homeschooled children perhaps not, have had to go and be tested on something, right? You ever get tested, you had to write out a test, and the teacher would correct it and stuff like that, and you get a score, and, you know, some people, it was a more pleasant experience than other people, but one way or the other, you knew when you were going to get that your work was going to be tested, whether you had done it correctly or not, right? And if you're a person who wants to learn a subject, you know what? You welcome the opportunity for that. Because you know when you're doing that, when you're writing that test, even if you get things wrong, what happens is it's going to highlight to you the areas that yet need improvement, right? That's what's going to happen. But if by contrast, you just don't want to do the test or have it or see what you got wrong, that's called pride, okay, and fear. And does that person ever get any better at it? I mean, Jeannie, at math, how good did you get at it back there at school? Jeannie used to work for me a little bit. I happen to know her strengths in math and stuff like that. Yeah, I think she learned from Carrie over there on it. But one of the reasons why that happens, face it, when you're in school, what happens most of the time with something like math? It's because you don't see how it's ever going to be useful in your life, you think. And the way they teach it, you just feel like it's, what's the use? What does any of this matter? And the teacher says, well, it's going to help you with this, that, and the other thing, and you don't believe them. And, or they're talking about something that you really don't care about. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you could become an engineer. Oh, that's really what my dream has always been, is to be an engineer. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I happen to be one, so what can I say? But you follow what I'm saying? I mean, and we're the same way with the Word of God. See, we're the same way with the Word of God. You can't be that way with the Word of God. You have to be in a place where you want to continuously come to the light, to have the works and the things that you have done be made manifest, whether they were wrought in God or not. And when they're not wrought in God, you know what? You learn from your mistakes. And when they are wrought in God, you rejoice and thank Jesus. You follow what I'm saying? But it's a choice and it's a decision that you come to because you realize that the Word is true. You realize, you know what? I am a sinner. And if I'm going to be anything but a sinner, I need help. As Jeannie said, you still rejoice in the mistakes because what you do with the mistakes, you count it joy, all joy. I don't think most of us feel like, oh, that was really great. You just decide that, you know what? It was good. Yes, like broccoli and Brussels sprouts and a few other things that people don't like a lot of times. Yeah, they go, it's good for me. All right, thank you. Ooh, that'll help me see better, or you know, this, that, and the other thing. Thank you. But you follow what I'm saying? You have to be willing to come. And the beautiful thing about the Lord, and I just want to finish with this, the beautiful thing about the Lord is He has no entry requirements. He has no entry requirements. I mean, that's the awesome thing. You can be Jeffrey Dahmer. Remember him? The guy who, I won't say what he did because we have children here, but he was pretty notorious for those of us who are adults. No. You could be Adolf Hitler. You could be anybody. What's that? You can be bad at math. You can have been married 5 times and have 7 children, and the one you're with now is not your husband, like the woman at the well. You know, you can be a prostitute. You can be a drug dealer. You can be a drug addict. You can be a drunk. You can be a good for nothing. Got a lot of those. It does not matter. What the Lord will do is He'll take you right as you are and begin to work with you. And as He cleans you up, He's not going to clean you up in the way in which church people will find acceptable. He's going to clean you up in the way He finds acceptable. Okay? That's what He's going to do. I mean, I've had people accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, live with a woman, get her pregnant, and continue to be a drug dealer for a season. And the grace of the Lord be with him. Imagine that. He had accepted Jesus and he was a drug dealer. I remember Ricky Baldwin. I wasn't there when this happened, but Carrie, you were there when this happened. He said to Davey, he said, well, I'll accept the Lord. I believe Jesus. He said, I'll accept the Lord. And his brother says to him, he says, Ricky won't accept the Lord because he doesn't want to give up booze, drugs, and women. Right? He didn't want to give up booze, drugs, and women. And you know what Richard said to him? You don't have to give any of that up to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Ricky was like, you mean I could have my cake and eat it too? So you know what he did? He received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And you know what happened? There was a slow process by which these things, he ended up getting shed up. It's kind of funny to listen to him tell it, because one of the things that happened is, he, after a certain period of time, he decided he wasn't going to buy pot anymore. He used to always buy it. Okay, I'm not going to buy pot anymore. The next thing he knows, you know, he had so much free pot. I mean, he was working at a gas station. People would drive up. He'd be filling up their tank. And the guy would say, hey, you like some dope? And he'd reach in out of a paper bag, put a bunch, hand it to him as he goes driving out of the gas station. And Ricky began to realize, you know what, maybe this isn't so good. He said. So what he did is he decided one day to give it up. And he prayed that night, I think it was. He said, all right, Lord, this will be my last one. Or maybe it was in the morning. And he said, I just ask you to help me. And you know what? He used to, on his break at work, go get high. And then he'd go get high at this time. And he went the whole day, and he never felt like getting high. And he realized, didn't realize until like the next day. Wow. I've never done that. You know what I mean? And he all of a sudden wasn't doing that. He started finding that he started looking at women differently than he had before. He started looking at alcohol differently than he had before. And so by the time I met him, he was neither a drug addict, an alcoholic, or a womanizer. He was married, faithful husband, a good husband. And was a faithful servant of the Lord. But the fact of the matter is that that in and of itself doesn't save you. You have to continue until the end. So that's what it's about. He'll take you just as you are, and he'll work with you. And if you haven't ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you believe that he did indeed die for you, I want you to know, you can believe all you want that he died on the cross for you. Won't save you. Won't save you. Won't save you one bit. You'll die, go to hell. Die in your sins and go to hell. You have to affirmatively choose and speak, Lord, I ask that you enter into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Lord, I ask that you wash away my sins. I recognize I'm a sinner. Wash away my sins. You have to do it. Nobody can do it for you. But if you will do it, he will begin working with you. And when he begins working with you, things start changing. And it's cool. I've seen it myself. I've experienced deliverance. I've experienced healing. I've experienced raising from the dead. I've experienced devils being cast out. I've experienced a lot of different things. And you can too. So God bless you, and have a good week.